Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, programs and patrons. It is that time again for our Patreon Extra episode every month. And my name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
And usually we do a commentary track, but we could not get everybody scheduled, coordinated this month to do a commentary track. So, Derek, you want to tell them what we're talking about this month?
We're talking about Ahsoka,
yes. The
latest Star Wars series, which I'm assuming we're going to just talk about all the spoilers.
Yeah,
since this is
I was going to say.
I don't think we can't talk about them.
Up front, just up front, this is going to be very spoiler filled. Just this last week, we're recording this on September, what is today's date?
The 24th.
So episode 6 just dropped this last week. So we're coming up on episode 7. This next week, so we just saw the return of the man himself, Grand Admiral Thrawn, and so that's where we left off at with this last episode. So where do we want to start? Do we want to start with that and work backwards, or do we want to start from the beginning and work our way forwards?
It's the most current, so yeah, we can. I'm sure we can, you know, sprinkle in some details as you know, for previous episodes as well, but. That's kind of what everybody's been talking about. You know, Thrawn has been around for a long time, even before, you know, Disney bought Star Wars and made all the extended universe not canon.
Yeah, I think 1990 was when Heir to the Empire came out. I'm pretty sure it was 1990.
That sounds about right. And, you know, we've talked about things that should be brought back as canon, like most notably Shadows of the Empire. But something that was on everybody's mind, you have to bring Thrawn in because he is just that good of a villain. Like, to me, he is just as good as Vader and Palpatine, like in a different way.
Yeah.
But that's what makes him just as scary. Like, his physical presence, you know, seeing him in live action for the first time was fantastic. And they got, what was his name?
Lars Mikkelsen.
Lars Mikkelsen, yeah, who voiced Thrawn in the Rebels cartoon to play the live action version, which I think is great because he had a great voice in the cartoon that translated over into Ahsoka. And he's just, his presence is amazing. I, as someone who's, you know, worked in movies and love, you know, I love characters. It was amazing to see for the first time. When I saw the Star Destroyer with the Chimera design under it, I'm like, uh-oh.
That was the coolest part to me because, you know, I read Heir to the Empire as soon as it came out when I was a kid. I was like 13 when that book came out, 12 or 13 years old. And Grand Admiral Thrawn, you know, being the ultimate villain that rivals, if not more so, than more of a military mind than even the Emperor was. This is a guy who could keep the Empire together. You know, he's not affected by the Force in any way. He is just literally a genius military tactician who can rally the remnants of the Empire together in a way that would rival the Empire at its height. And to see him finally in live action for the first time was so freaking cool.
Over 20 years in the making. And it is, that's been one of the many highlights of the show. Cause I know we haven't talked in detail about it really since the first episode or two, but how do you feel about Ahsoka as a whole compared to like Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and the other Star Wars shows?
I feel like they were learning a lot on their way to this series. Like we had, you know, the Mandalorian, which is by far one of the best things Star Wars has done ever. There's been a few missteps here and there in the Mandalorian, you know, seasons here and there. And I'm not saying there's anything bad. I'm just saying there's a few questionable things in there. What was the next thing? It was Book of Boba Fett, which was very divisive among fans. There's the Obi-Wan series that's been divisive among fans. I think everybody that has seen, what was his name? From Rogue One, the last series we had.
Oh, Andor.
Andor. I don't know why that slipped my mind. Andor, everybody agrees, is grown-up Star Wars. Like, it's excellent. And I think, you know, Mandalorian is kind of like bubblegum Star Wars. Andor is the adult drama Star Wars. And I think Ahsoka is a great blending of those two. You get the bubblegum, but you also get the great drama with it as well.
Yeah, and even when, you know, Ahsoka made her live-action debut and The Mandalorian, and we got the tease of Thrawn saying that, you know, that she's been searching for him and where he's gone. And they announced, you know, the Ahsoka series. And I don't know about you, but I was expecting there to be some elements of Rebels that would carry over because it would make so much sense because of the relationships, you know, that all those characters have had. And the first thing that jumped out to me, especially in that first episode, seeing all the Rebels content, like the characters and even some of the environments in live action, was so freaking cool.
Oh, it's basically just Rebels season 5 in live action. It is what this is.
And I will say I have not heard nearly as many complaints about Ahsoka as I have from the other series, but that's been like the most consistent one is that, well, it's basically a new season of Rebels, but I don't look at that as a bad thing because I feel like I'm in the minority that I actually like Rebels more than I liked Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Not to say that Clone Wars was bad, because I don't think that at all. I was just drawn into the characters and the story of Rebels more. That, and I like that time period between episodes 3 and 4.
And I think they're finally understanding what makes Star Wars special. And it's not... how do I explain this? Like, the way they went wrong with the prequels. Like, yes, as fans, we wanted more of the same. We got more of the same, so they did something different, and we screamed about that. But I think they're finally taking what we loved about Star Wars originally, and they're giving us new characters that we love just as much as we loved those characters in the original Star Wars trilogy. And even though they're not going to be around very long because, you know, Ray Stevenson, who is one of the most compelling characters in Star Wars since, I don't know, I don't know who else to compare him to. Like, I want an entire series with just him. But the sad thing is we're not going to get it because he passed away as soon as they got done filming. So
right,
that's what really sucks about it, is like, he's one of my favorite characters in the last 20 years of Star Wars. I don't know what it is about him, but there's something. He's not evil. He's not good. There's just something about him that's just, I don't know what it is. There's something about him, and I can't put my finger on it.
Well, I think you just paid him a huge compliment that you can't compare him to another Star Wars character, because I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I was drawn to him instantly. And, you know, I knew that he had passed away after filming was done. So I was really curious to see what his character was like, because they not only do they bring back a lot of the characters from Rebels, but they do introduce some new ones as well. His being the most interesting, because we saw in the last episode, he's looking for something. Mm-hmm. It's something that even, you know, like those in higher power in this new galaxy are afraid of. So it makes you wonder, what could that be? Mm-hmm. And I have an interesting theory on that. And I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but
let's hear it.
We do have that movie coming out. I think James Mangold is directing it, about the very first Jedi. Mm-hmm. What if there's something that dates back to the discovery of the Force?
Yeah.
And the foundation of the Jedi, because he talked about breaking the cycle with, you know, the Empire rising and falling. And then we know in the sequels, we got the First Order that rose to power. What if it's something that dates back, you know, like to the foundation of the Jedi Order? Well, I think that would be really cool.
I would think it would have to, and it has to originate, if not from that planet, then from that galaxy that they're in, the different galaxy, because that they're connected by those the space whales, and I can't remember the name of them now, but.
I'll look that up real quick. I've said it several times, but of course I can't remember it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I can't retain the names of stuff these days in Star Wars. I used to soak it up like crazy.
Purgles.
Kurgles, yeah.
Purgles.
Purgles, yeah.
Yep.
It has something to do with that, because, you know, they had that huge Purgle graveyard and all that. What if there's something, and with the Night Sisters being there, like, do they originate from that planet, or did the Night Sisters, like, why are they there on that planet, and they're also on the planet they were on in the Star Wars galaxy? Like, it has something to do with them, the original Jedi. I don't know what it is, but I hope they do harken back to that, you know, the very first Jedi Order, maybe.
Because that's the next thing that I'm most excited about, is seeing, like, how everything started. Like, how are they going to explain that? Like, we've seen the sequels, and now we're getting, you know, stuff that takes place even before the prequels, like with the High Republic comic book series. But we go back even farther. You know, the early comparisons say that it's going to be like a Ten Commandments style epic, which intrigues me. I'm not going to lie. So it's like, it's going to be exciting to see what all happens with that aspect of the story. So I'm hoping that it's something like that. It could be something completely different, but that's what's great, is that we don't know.
I know. And it's like, and I trust Dave Filoni because he is the, you know, the Star Wars historian, librarian, whatever you want to call him. He worked directly with George Lucas, and I think he has George Lucas's blessing with whatever he wants to do with the Star Wars universe, but also I think he wants to keep it within George Lucas's vision, but also do something different with it. And what better way to do something different with it than go to a different galaxy?
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it makes sense, because, you know, as big as the galaxy is, the universe is ever expanding. So it's going somewhere that we have never been before, because that is a criticism that I've heard from Star Wars, and I don't entirely disagree with, is that we have this vast universe and all these planets, but we keep focusing on, like, the Skywalker family and other characters. So I'm glad we're finally getting new characters and new environments.
Here's a character I want to ask your opinion on, and I love the voice actor for this character, but Hu Yang.
Oh, love Hu Yang with David Tennant as the voice.
So good.
I really like the fact that they still put emphasis on the droid characters. You know, like we get appearances from Chopper, which is great. Mm-hmm. But
the war
Hu Yang has been one of my favorite aspects of the show. And, you know, David Tennant being the voice is picture perfect.
Well, the thing about Hu Yang is it might go towards your theory, because Hu Yang is over 25,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And he has never had a memory wipe. He knows everything there is to know about the Jedi Order from the very beginning. So what if they get to where they're going? You know, him and Ahsoka are in the basically the belly of the whale, so to speak, at this point, on their way to the new galaxy. What if they get there and he recognizes something that's there? You know, like that's how we find out what's going on with Baylan.
And you can have Hu Yang make an appearance in this movie about the foundation of the Jedi.
Yeah.
I like that. I didn't even consider that. So that's there's so many things that they could do. And like I said, that's why I like this series, is that we don't know where it's going. Mm-hmm. You know, with the prequels, we all knew how it was going to end up. But with this, we don't really know.
And what about Mr. Kim himself, Captain Carson Teva, holding the damn military together, his damn self?
He is the unsung hero of this era of Star Wars.
He is the glue holding the New Republic together.
I was going to say, like, glue, or, you know, held together with duct tape and chicken wire.
Yeah.
But, no, it's cool to see him. Like, he's become a recurring character in this new era of Star Wars. You know, like, he was in The Mandalorian, and just seeing him is always a highlight. We've gotten appearances from Mon Mothma, mm-hmm, as well, which has been really cool. So there are still connections. We got a Leia reference in one of the episodes. Mm-hmm. So we've got, you know, still a little bit of connection to the original trilogy.
And also this last episode, we finally, not only did we get to see the first ever appearance of Thrawn, live action appearance of Thrawn, we finally got to see Ezra Bridger as well in live action.
Rocking the beard.
Yeah.
With, I can't remember what they were called, but there are these like turtle-like aliens.
Those things are cool. I like those.
Yeah, and the cool thing is, I've watched the episode back a couple of times, and I can't tell if they're fully CG or if they used practical effects or if it's a blend of both.
I think it's a blend of both, because they look way too real to be, like, they look tactile. Like, you could actually touch, they look like they're in the real space. Mm-hmm. They don't look CGI to me at all.
But that's how good they look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, just like, how did you guys make? I'm sure they'll do a behind the scenes, you know, gallery series like they did with Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett. So that's something that I'm really excited to see. But, you know, they've been building to it since episode one. They've wanted to find Ezra because he essentially sacrificed himself to keep Thrawn away from the galaxy. So I don't think he's going to be very pleased when he finds out that Thrawn's found a way back. He's like, I've been stranded here for nothing. But seeing him and, you know, Sabine Wren reunite was really cool. And I can't wait to see him reunite with Ahsoka and potentially Hera. You know, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, I like the look that she gave, that when he said, I can't wait to get back. And that just that look on her face is like, ugh. Sabine's like, oh, I'm going to have to tell him.
Yeah.
The only way we have back is aboard this. We have to hitch a ride with Thrawn back.
Yeah. Well, there are some space whales on the way.
Yeah. But they don't know that, though.
They're true. Maybe they'll find out this week. But there is one thing we haven't talked about yet, mm-hmm, that we've got to get into.
Oh, yeah. I know it's coming.
The appearance. I don't know about you, but I am all aboard the Hayden Christensen redemption bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
We got Hayden not as Darth Vader, but as Anakin. and the world between worlds. So I'm like, when that happened, so it was two episodes ago, Ahsoka is fighting Baylan, and it appears that she gets pushed off a cliff and dies. And then when she wakes up and you see this kind of like wavy water-like material around her, I'm like, they're going to do it. They're actually going to do it. And then, you know, she stands up and she's in the world between worlds, which was introduced in Rebels. And I think it's going to have a bigger role in other series. And we see Anakin. And that was a heck of a cliffhanger to leave on.
And then we came back the next episode and we get a flashback with Clone Wars era Hayden Christensen with the same haircut. You know, he's got the Clone Wars armor on, and we get a young Ahsoka, live action Ahsoka, and we get a Captain Rex for about 3 seconds. But what did you think about that whole flashback sequence?
Oh, like my jaw was on the floor the whole time. Like there were rumors, and I had assumed that we would get that if they went the world between worlds route, but still seeing it in live action, and like, you know, it opens to this really foggy looking desert. And when I saw the first clone trooper, I'm like, they're going to do a Clone Wars flashback.
Yeah.
And it's funny because people are saying like, oh, they should do a full series on that. And I'm like,
they already did.
Yeah, it's great. It's on Disney Plus. Go watch it. But yeah, seeing him, you know, with the short hair and seeing the younger Ahsoka, which I don't know if you know this, but the actress who plays young Ahsoka also played young Gamora in Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
It's like, if I'm her, I just retire after this, because you've been in Marvel, you've been in Star Wars. What else is she going to do?
So there's been a lot of speculation on whether or not that was actually Anakin's Force ghost, because basically what he was there to do was give Ahsoka his final lesson for her to become, you know, a master or whatever. And the lesson that I took away from it is, if you watched the whole Rebels series, and Clone Wars, Rebels and everything, I think Ahsoka blamed herself for Anakin's fall to the dark side. And I think this lesson was for him to say, this would have happened either way. Whether you had teamed up with Darth Maul or not, this would have happened either way.
Yep. No, I 100% agree. And it was kind of a cool look back at, you know, the last episode of the Obi-Wan series, because Obi-Wan blamed himself for it also. And Anakin even said, I'm not your failure. So I think this is his way of saying, this was my doing. You know, I blame no one else but myself for it. So I'm 100% in agreement with you.
And those flashes between Anakin and Darth Vader were masterful.
Some of the best shots in all of Star Wars.
Dude, when she's laying on the bridge and he's coming after her and he's flashing in between Darth Vader and Anakin, I was just like, holy shit, man.
And we got you know, Anakin not in the Vader suit, but with a red lightsaber for the first time. And he had the yellow eyes, and Ahsoka even flashed the yellow eyes when they were having the lightsaber duel in the world between worlds. So it's, I like the theory that, you know, it is Anakin's Force ghost, but he's found a way to control. Like, he still has the darkness in him, but he can control it.
And I think that's what he was trying to pass on to Ahsoka as well. That's why her eyes were flashing yellow, is because you can be both. There, you know, the Force, and that's one of the big things that in the books before Disney took over was Luke coming to realize that there is no light or dark. There is just the Force, and it's your intention with how you use it. So I think that was Ahsoka, you know, his final lesson to Ahsoka was, you don't have to be light or dark. You can just be, you know, whatever you are, you know.
Yeah, it's you be your intention.
Yeah, you be you.
Yeah. No, I'm in 100% agreeance with that. And the crazy thing is, all this stuff has happened, and we've still got two episodes to go.
Are they doing 8 or 10? I thought it was 10 episodes.
I want to say it's 8. I'll look that up real quick.
Okay. Yeah, it only tells you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Up to part 6 on IMDb.
Okay, I want to say it's 8 episodes.
God, yeah, I wish it was 10.
That's right, because it ends the same week that Loki premieres.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we got 2 episodes left.
Ooh, we got a lot of story to wrap up in 2 episodes.
I think we're going to end on a cliffhanger. I think it's going to end with Thrawn bringing together the remnants of the Empire, because there's supposed to be a movie that wraps all these series up, like including Mandalorian. So I think it's going to be the closest we get to an Heir to the Empire movie.
Yeah.
We might get a de-aged Luke in there somewhere, but that's where I think this is going. I think it's going to end on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. And I think Ahsoka might be sacrificing herself at some point, because I mean, as much as I love Rosario Dawson, I know that she's kind of expensive to be playing this character, and I actually did make a meme last week that was inspired by another podcast I listened to, and it's Jeff Goldblum looking in the TV on Jurassic Park, and he's like, you are gonna have some Ahsoka in your Ahsoka show, right?
That was pretty good Jeff Goldblum impression. That, yeah, I mean, normally I'm not happy when they kind of depart from the main character of a show to showcase other things. But in this sense, I was okay with it, because it is actually a relevant part of the story. Mm. And you can only tell so much of, you know, Ahsoka and Hu Yang in the belly of a Purgle.
Because I kind of feel like most of the series really is Sabine's story, honestly.
It truly is Rebels, like another season of Rebels, in my opinion, just with a little more Ahsoka.
Yeah. What do you think about live action Hera too, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead,
the wife of Ewan McGregor, aka Obi-Wan Kenobi? Yeah. No, I've liked seeing all the characters. I think she's done a really good job. It does make me wonder, because she has a kid. Will we get a live action Kanan appearance?
I don't know. That would have to be a flashback.
Yeah.
We still haven't seen what's his name? The big purple guy from Rebels. He was only in one scene during Andor, I think.
It was Zeb.
Zeb, yeah.
Yeah, he was in, or was he in The Mandalorian?
Was it The Man? Yeah, it was.
I want to say he was in one of the last episodes of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, he was only there for he was in that bar with Captain Teeva for 10 seconds. And I'm like, you know, I think they probably wanted him in this series, but he's probably really expensive to animate. So, because I don't know if that's a suit. I mean, it might be a suit with, you know, doing motion capture on the face, but I imagine he's probably pretty expensive to pull off.
Maybe he'll make an appearance in one of the last episodes.
I hope so, because I love Zeb. He's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I just would love to see a Kanan flashback. That way we get all the main... You might as well just get all the main Rebels characters involved in some way.
I want one of those damn cats to be had. what do they call them? The prairie cats or whatever they're called?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, here's something I've been wanting to ask you. What do you think about Captain Enoch that was introduced in this last episode? The guy with like the Roman... The gold Roman face mask with the stormtrooper armor.
I mean, we got to find out who it is.
Because are those stormtroopers? Answer me this: are those the Night Sisters are known for animating corpses? Are those stormtroopers zombies?
I think so.
We're about to get a whole legion of zombies in the Star Wars universe, I think.
And I don't think anyone had that on their bingo card.
I did not. I did not have zombie stormtroopers on my Star Wars bingo card.
No, not at all. That's what I think. I mean, they're known for, like you said, animating corpses. And when I saw the, you know, kind of broken helmets and pieces of armor, I'm thinking, yeah, those have to be zombies.
Yeah, those poor stormtroopers are like so duct taped together.
They're held together with duct tape and chicken wire.
No kidding. I mean, even the Chimera, like they did that top when it was coming into frame and they did that shot of the top of the Chimera. It's like it's just welded together with like scraps and just junk. And I'm like, they're going to take that thing between galaxies.
In Thrawn's hands, I trust it. He's had way too long to figure out how to get back to his galaxy screw that up.
And speaking of Grand Admiral Thrawn, I've seen a lot of people online complaining about the way he looks. Because
he looks like he's supposed to.
They're like, he's short and fat. I'm like, fat? Like, Lars Mikkelsen is I'm 6'3". He's an inch taller than me. He's 6'4". And he's not fat. He's just a 60-year-old man. And that, you know, those suits, you know, with the weird pants and everything, they're not cut to make you look flattering. I mean, it's an officer's uniform.
I don't think he's had a lot of options for clothing.
Yeah. He's been wearing that same suit. He's been wearing that same suit for a decade now. Like, I don't think, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, oh,
I thought he looked fine.
He should have been played by, you know, somebody else or like blah, 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 and this stuff. I'm like, is there anything to make you people happy? You got to find something to complain about all the time.
That's why when I see complaints about Star Wars, 9 times out of 10, I just scroll right through. Unless they have a valid reason. If they're just complaining to complain, I'm just like, okay, you guys just want attention.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give it to you.
I don't get these people.
But I will say there haven't been a lot of complaints about Ahsoka, at least from what I've seen. Mm-mm. Everyone seems to have generally positive feelings about it.
Well, it's a really well-written show. It's well-acted. The characters are great. Like, I love... what's her name that plays Sabine? Natasha Liu Bordizzo. I think I've never heard of her before, but she's great as Sabine.
Yeah, I think everybody has done a really good job.
Yeah, she's only got like 4 credits. She was in something called The Society, The Voyeurs, and Day Shift. Oh, no, she's been in a bunch of other stuff, but just like low budget stuff.
Right.
But yeah, she's been awesome.
It's going to be very...
She can take a lightsaber to the gut and live. That's more than you can say for a lot of Jedi.
Most of the other Jedi.
Through the series.
I saw a meme that had her recovering from from the lightsaber wound, and then it just showed Qui-Gon. Yeah. His Force Ghost just like, what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they've had some advances in medicine over the last, you know, 40 yeah. years since the Clone Wars, or before yeah. the Clone Wars. And we haven't even talked Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say real quick, a very quick thing about Anakin. We were talking about how, you know, like, he doesn't blame Obi-Wan or Ahsoka for turning to the dark side. Qui-Gon would have been the only one to do it.
Yeah.
But he did not survive Darth Maul.
Well, that's the thing.
Had Qui-Gon lived, I don't think Anakin would have turned.
No, he would have. That's why they call it Duel of the Fates, because it was, if Qui-Gon had lived, none of this would have happened. Like, this is all because Qui-Gon lost to Darth Maul.
Yep.
Because Obi-Wan was not prepared to take on a Padawan, you know. Just as much as we love Obi-Wan, he was not prepared for for an older Padawan that had never been through the academy, and, you know, it was like, it was pretty rough, man. You know, we did what we could, but
yeah,
he wasn't up for it. And we still haven't talked about Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka.
Perfect, you know, fan casting. You know, years ago when they were talking about if you were to have an older Ahsoka, who would play her in live action, and most everyone said Rosario Dawson.
She's awesome. She's just so cool.
Yeah, she seems like a really cool person. She seems like a genuine fan. I think she's been incredible in the role. And I still remember when she showed up, you know, for the first time in Mandalorian, and it was Rosario Dawson. Because I would try to not read anything until the episode came out and I watched it, because I wanted to go in with no knowledge, no expectations. And then when I saw her as Ahsoka, I'm like, okay, this is a great choice. And she's killed it.
One of my favorite episodes and my favorite thing she's done so far is the episode where they find that ring, the hyperspace ring, and they're fighting, and and the ship is out of power, so she has to go outside the ship and fight the other spaceships, like, outside the ship. And that was like who thought of that? Like, that's awesome.
As something that had never been done before in
She's
Star
floating
Wars,
around outside the ship. She's like, you got it started yet?
And so they were still able to add a little bit of comedy to it also, which, you know, was great.
Because most of her interaction in the show so far has been between her and Hu Yang. And
yeah, which, don't get me wrong, like, I love their interaction, because Hu Yang, you know, is not afraid to call her out on her mistakes.
And is Hu Yang mostly, is he a live action, like, puppet, or is he CG?
Oh, that's a good question. I wonder if it's in the trivia section of IMDb.
Let's see.
Da, 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 da. It'd be cool if he was entirely, you know, like, animatronic.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. The handheld device Sabine plugs the droid's head into in the hospital is an old retro game console called Galaxy Invader CGL Vintage 1978. She just holds it upside down.
And we have our connection.
Yeah, there
to this
we
podcast.
Go. There's the connection right there.
This is valid. You heard it. I'm not seeing anything about Hu Yang.
I didn't know Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Ewan McGregor were married. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have I think they have a daughter together.
Huh. That's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, everyone has been, this has been arguably the best Star Wars show, in the sense that the story has been very interesting. Mm-hmm. The characters, even though I know they're pre-existing, the live action translation has been near flawless. In my opinion, we've got a live-action Thrawn. We get to see new stuff, which has been a complaint of mine about Star Wars for years. I can't get enough of this show. I love it. I, like, I'm going to hate when it's over.
I'm going to be so sad when this show's over with. What's up next? Like, what is after this? I know the writer's strike probably going to put a damper on everything for a while.
Yeah, hopefully that all that is starting to wrap up. I know that this was, as of yesterday, that I guess the studios had worked out, I won't say worked out, but had presented the WGA with a new deal. I don't know if they've accepted. I haven't really read anything today. Mm-hmm. But hopefully the light is at the end of the tunnel. They're still going to have to, you know, work out a deal with SAG, which is probably going to take, in my opinion, probably the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So it's put a damp. It's going to really, this fall, we're going to see the effects of it.
Yeah. I mean, we're already starting to see it without the return of a lot of TV shows right now.
Yeah. So. I know Skeleton Crew is in the works with Jude Law.
Yeah.
Season 2 of Andor was filming at the time the strike started. So one of those two, I'm assuming, will be next.
I don't know. I need something. I need more Star Wars soon after this, because this is too, we're going too good right now. We can't stop.
I know. Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed this show. I've watched every episode more than once. It's just been that good. Like you said at the beginning, it's a great mix of what's made Star Wars great over the years, but doing it with new characters mm-hmm. that we can fall in love with.
And I'll be totally honest, I really don't care about any more Star Wars movies at this point. Just keep giving me TV shows like this.
Star Wars is better suited for shows, honestly. Like, I love the movies, don't get me wrong, but with the shows, we get to flesh out the characters more.
Yeah. And that's the thing, why we love some of these characters so much. Like Carson Teva, I know they were supposed to do that one series with him. The
Rangers of the New Republic.
Rangers of the New Republic, and he was supposed to be a star in that. They need to do something with that or something with him, because he's too important of a character and too good of a character at this point to just keep making him a peripheral character. He's too good.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what could happen? I mean, I know they've talked about scaling back on the Marvel and the Star Wars content, but I'm with you. I hope that they at least utilize him in a more prominent role in another series. Like, even if he's not like the top lead character, maybe like right under that, where he's still a regular, but maybe the main focus is not on him.
What I need with him is a procedural, like, detective series where he's sent off to where there's, you know, there's small things happening in the New Republic and he has to go solve mysteries like that. Because that's what he's been doing so far, is solving mysteries. Like, let's just have him going around the galaxy solving mysteries. Like, him and why do I keep forgetting his damn name? The purple dude.
Zeb.
Zeb. God. Why not him and Zeb teaming up and just solving mysteries around the universe?
And you can have a cameo by Din Djarin and Grogu.
Yep.
You can have appearances by other characters. And you could almost make it, you know, like in Marvel, they have the street level of superheroes, like your Spider-Mans, your Daredevils, your Punishers, that don't solve like the universe or world-ending catastrophes like the Avengers do. This can be like that. It can be a very self-contained story, but still taking place in a bigger universe.
And I'm just going to give Disney and Dave Filoni some free advice right now. This is just an idea. You guys can have it. If it takes off, just give me a cameo in the show. But you could do Carson Teva, Captain Carson Teva. But remember the Rogue One series, like, of comic books, like the Rogue Squadron comic books mm-hmm. that they used to do and books. And it always yeah. focused on Wedge. But since the guy who played Wedge is aged out at this point, you could just do Rogue Squadron, but have Carson Teva as the main character. And that's what they did. They went around, you know, solving mysteries and, you know, flying around, having some dogfights here and there. And You know, like that, you could do that. That would be, I would watch the hell out of that.
I mean, they were going to do a Rogue Squadron movie.
Yeah.
But then I guess it got canned.
Yeah. But you could do
but
that
a
as
Rogue
a
Squadron
series.
Series would be excellent.
With Carson Teva.
I'm
already there. You've got me at this. Like, if you make that Disney, I'm already there.
Yeah. You have given me reasons to keep my Disney Plus subscription.
Yeah. but so far, let's give it not a rating because it's not finished yet. But what are some parting thoughts about Ahsoka so far?
I think they would have to drastically screw up the last two episodes for it to not be my favorite Star Wars series.
Because for the
reasons that you've said, it has a mix of what I love about Star Wars while introducing new elements and bringing in pre-existing ones into a live action world. And the chemistry with all the actors has been great. The story is compelling. The effects don't look terrible, which in some of the Star Wars shows they have. Not to throw out any specifics, but the chase scene in Book of Boba Fett is one of them.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah. Everything top to bottom has been incredible about Ahsoka. I've absolutely loved it.
Yeah, there's nothing to complain about so far. I mean, like you said, the Book of Boba Fett, like that, that chase scene was, that was rough.
As we'd say in the South, it was real bad.
Real bad. But like you said, there's so many good characters in this show. Some of my favorite characters so far. And I didn't think I would like this more than The Mandalorian. But just so far, this is my favorite Star Wars series. I mean, it has everything mashed together that I love about all the other series. Like I said, it's got the bubblegum Star Wars that was The Mandalorian and Rebels, but you also have the Sirius, which was Andor, and they mashed them together and put Rosario Dawson as the title character and called it Ahsoka, and it's my favorite thing so far that the Disney Star Wars has done.
And I know I keep
saying that every time there's a after Andor's like, Andor's my favorite thing. Like, but this seriously, like, this is, with Mandalorian, there were only a few episodes here and there I could watch more than once. But this is something, as soon as the series is over, I'm going to go back and binge the whole thing again from start to finish.
Do I watch them for a third time? I think the answer is yes.
Yes. But that's going to bring us to the end, I guess, unless there's anything else you want to throw out there.
I mean, we could go for hours about this, so we should probably go ahead and wrap up.
Yeah, but for those of you out there who aren't, who listen to this, and I'm sorry if you got spoiled on everything, just go back to the beginning and read the Heir to the Empire book series. There's even a comic book series you can go back. That's where Thrawn got his start. It's Timothy Zahn wrote those books, and I'm just glad they're kind of bringing that, that story, even though it's not the same. There are a lot of elements there that I think Dave Filoni is pulling from, and, as much as we wanted those movies, and I think Dave Filoni is just like us, he wanted those movies as well, screen adaptation of Heir to the Empire, he's doing his best to give us that. And we got to love him for it. So long live Dave Filoni. Keep doing what you're doing. And that's all I got to say about it. Is just go check those books out. Read them. And they're great.
Yep. No, I totally agree.
But thank you all for hanging out with us. And let's see. I guess I'll release this to the public a little later. So I'll just go ahead and say that if you're listening to this, we do these extra episodes because of our Patreon, which is patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. You go over there, even at $1 a month, you get these episodes way earlier than everybody else. So then the only reason we do these extra episodes is because of our Patreon. So thank you to our patrons, and just go to nerdcaveretro.com. That takes you everywhere you need to go. We have a merch shop. We got, you can go to our Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff you can find right there. And if you like to watch the show, every single Monday night, we're live on YouTube at youtube.com/@jfunktastic. And let's go ahead and get out of here. Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the Force be with you.
Yes.
My name is Freeze. Learn it well. For it's the chilling sound of your doom.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.